Hello?
Hello, Richard. I'm Renee from CFRU, and Alex is on the other line, and we're dying to interview you about the psychedelic furs.
Okay.
So I think Alex will start off the questions.
Okay, Richard. Psychedelic furs, the name, came up in conversation yesterday. Maybe it came from Jacob from the Bible in Coat of Many Colors.
No.
Any chance?
It was just a reaction against all the band names that were around at the time, and we just wanted something different. There's not. Yeah. No, it didn't come from Jacob and his Coat of Many Colors.
An ambitious question, anyway. What about the projection of your name, Psychedelic Furs? Like, are you trying to get across a certain image with your music with that, or is that maybe pushing the point too far?
Yeah, I think it's an obvious mistake that people make, you know. Well, and it's an obvious conclusion to draw that we might be a psychedelic band given a name like that, but the fact is that we're not.
How do you see the Psychedelic Furs as a band, and like, what is your perception of how you project yourself, perhaps both on stage and in studio?
I don't know. It's something that I do. It's just that I project myself as Richard Butler, you know, and Richard Butler's like taste in the way he dresses and the way he sings, you know, becomes more and more developed as I go along. But I don't actually think I have a goal as to how I want to project myself or, you know, what I'm going to aim for. It's just me.
It's just an amalgamation of so many things you can't really put your finger on then.
Yeah.
Right.
You said you weren't a psychedelic band, but and yet your videos, I see them quite psychedelic, lots of colors, and your album covers too seem psychedelic.
I mean, a lot of album covers have got lots of colors on and lots of videos too. You know, it's just, I don't know, I don't really think about it.
No, okay. They're very well done though.
So the videos are more like a sense of an emotion you're trying to get across instead of a concept in itself? Because I was talking to another band earlier this week, and their idea behind the video was sort of to complement the images in the song, and they weren't too worried about people getting a fixed image of the song after seeing the video. But how do you feel about video that way? Do you feel that perhaps it takes away sometimes from the message?
Well, a lot of people say it takes away. I just think it's down to the band and how they feel about doing them. But as for us, you know, I don't like to do storyboarded videos too much. You know, it always seems a bit like a cartoon to me, you know, where you get the little picture above it and then you get the words below, and it's like the same with a lot of videos.
Right.
It's like the video just follows the words exactly.
So you'd prefer each person to get what they want out of the song than themselves?
Well, yeah, I think the way we've approached videos is just we sit down and think about what the mood of the song is, and then we think of a way of putting over the mood of the song visually, you know, and then we do a performance within that mood.
Right.
So it's not like you know, when you mention a girl, you're going to get a girl walking across the screen, and a telephone, you get somebody on the telephone.
Right.
You know, it's not those things.
Does it allow you to bring in any other kind of influences outside of music? Like on the Talk Talk album, you have a mention of Andy Warhol, and you have Dumb Waiters, which might be a Pinter play. I don't know if you thought of that or not, but do you try to bring in other influences outside of music?
Oh, yeah, all the time. You know, I mean, the people I write about in songs and the things I write about in songs aren't necessarily things that pop songs are always about. And, yeah, I mean, other influences come in all over the place.
What about America? Has that had kind of any impact on your music in terms of over the course of time, the albums you've put out? Like, the sound seems to have altered, and the different producers you've used, such as Todd Rundgren, you know, as opposed to maybe Steve Lillywhite. Can you talk about that a bit?
Yeah, we used Todd after we'd used Steve for the first two albums, and that was a very raw sound. You know, we virtually went in and played live in the studio.
Right.
And after we'd done two albums with him, we decided we wanted to get more into actual production. You know, and we wanted to use synthesizers as well. And for me at that time, you know, when I thought of synthesizers, I immediately thought of somebody like Todd Rundgren.
Right.
And so it seemed like an obvious step to work with Todd, and similarly it was an obvious step after we'd worked with Todd. We wanted to go for a real strong drum and bass sound, you know, to get this drum and bass really, really tight, and it seemed a really clear move to go in and work with somebody like Keith Force. He had worked with Giorgio Moroder and Donna Summer, and he had been a drummer himself, and it, that seems like a really obvious move.
Yeah, I think it's reflective on Mirror Moves. It's much more danceable, dance-oriented, as opposed to some of the earlier LPs. How do you react to the criticism that perhaps some critics and some people in the public have made that you've gotten away from the sound that they adored the initial Psychedelic Furs for, that raw sound? And
oh, yeah, we have done, but then, you know, I mean, we're a different band, you know, and we've made an album like the first one, and then we went on to talk, and we've done that. We don't want to keep doing those things over and over again. The sound just naturally develops.
You follow where your mind goes, right?
Yeah.
So where is your mind going to take you now? Do you know?
Not really. We've just started writing songs, so there's no kind of, I couldn't tell you what they're going to sound like, or we haven't even finalized a producer yet. You know, we've got a few people in mind, but nobody final.
Is there a special direction or kind of idea that you're going in for the next album then, as opposed to sort of the dancer sound of this one and the raw one of, say, your first few LPs?
Yeah, what we tend to do is we'll write a bunch of songs and then we'll sit down and listen to them and decide how they ought to be produced after we've written them. You know, we always see what kind of...
So you don't go into it with the producer in mind ahead of time, you sort of see what creative...
Oh, no, yeah, we write the songs and then we just figure out how we want them to be produced and how we want them to sound, and then we'll choose a producer that does that kind of sound.
Echo and the Bunnymen broke up, but do you have any feelings at all about that?
Did they really?
Yeah.
Well, we've been hearing different rumors, some that they've just taken a year off as a break, and others that they have disbanded for permanently. And we just wondered, like, how do you feel about that as a group, you know, keeping...
Well, that's news to me. I don't know, that's kind of sad, because they're contemporaries of ours in a way.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, they came up around the same time, and they were, you know, like you were saying, were we a psychedelic band? They were stuck in the same psychedelic tag for a little while when there was a big revival in England. Mm-hmm. So it's a shame.
Right. Do you find it, are there any kind of difficulties in keeping democracy in a band as opposed to, like, working on your own? You know, the difference in having to discuss matters over with other people, is that ever get to be a big problem?
There used to be problems, because when we started the band, there were half a dozen of us, and we set it up democratically, whereas in fact it was really Tim, John, and myself that did the writing, so...
Right.
We used to have lots of arguments with them about that. Nowadays, it's just Tim, John, and myself, and we don't have very many problems.
So perhaps the smaller size is an advantage then, would you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It means that, say, Tim or John or, you know, myself again can think of a song and, you know, say it to the others, and it gets through sounding pretty much like it sounded in your head, instead of it being changed around by all these people arguing that it should be this way and that way. You get a clearer picture of the song you had in mind.
You do like saying things in your songs, and it's sort of a battle between the intellectual and the artistic in a way. And how do you sort of balance those two things?
I don't know, it just comes naturally.
With your songs, like, do you ever worry that people are going to take too much, like, take them too seriously or not take them seriously enough? Like, how do you strike that balance, like, the idea of saying something for art's sake as opposed to just for an entertainment value?
I never think of it as saying something for art's sake or...
It's not a conscious thing,
for entertainment value. I just think it's, I don't know, the music I really like, it always says something, you know, and, there's lots of, I mean, people like Mick Jagger in the early Stones days used to write great lyrics, and I don't think he ever thought about whether it was art or what.
What would you say is the major thing that you've tried to get across over the years?
Be yourself. Individuality.
Maybe we could talk about a couple of your songs. There's one in the new LP, Mirror Moves, the song Heaven, and in it you have a line we especially admired, Everybody's Jumping My Train. By that line, are you trying to say that you feel that someone's perhaps missing your point of what you're saying with your songs, or that you feel someone's stealing your style, or is there a specific meaning behind those words?
Yeah, it's like when somebody jumps your train, it's like that... They're jumping on your ideas and the way you present yourself, but in a superficial kind of way. They're not actually realizing what you're doing.
Like a critic.
What do you feel about do you take the critical comments you hear seriously? I know some people, they really take that into consideration. Other people just feel it's completely irrelevant to what they're doing. How do you approach the whole idea of criticism of the band?
It doesn't really bother me. If somebody likes the album, that's fair enough. If they hate it, that's fair enough. So, you know, it really doesn't make any difference.
What about when, you know, they compare you to a band that's gone before, either favorably or unfavorably? How do you feel about a critic doing that as opposed to just coming up with, you know, his own ideas about you as a band?
Well, I don't know. It doesn't... See, I think everybody gets that, you know. I mean, I think everybody, when they're a kind of newish band or new on the scene or whatever, will get compared to somebody else. You see it all the time, you know. So it doesn't really bother me. I just think, well, everybody else gets it. I mean, I don't like comparisons myself. I think I'm Richard Butler, and I don't think I'm A or B or C, you know. But
right.
About President Gass, I get a sort of, you drew a great picture of society, and I sort of get an idea of Gass. What was the spark that got you to use the phrase President Gass? Was there anything that sparked your imagination?
Yeah, well, besides just as an abstract thing of sounding heavy, you know, it sounds kind of heavy. And besides that, I wanted it to be, when I was first going to write the song, I wanted it to be like ambiguous as to whether it was an actual a leader of a country or it was a big oil company.
Right.
And then I figured, you know, I didn't have to write that into a song because that goes unsaid.
Yeah.
I mean, the big companies run the country anyway, so they're the same thing.
So you didn't just drive into a gas station and say, this guy should be president or something like that?
What about the tour that I know you're going to be in Bingham Park, Kitchener tomorrow evening, right?
Yeah.
And what about your tour this time around as opposed to, say, in the past? Are you going to be focusing more on the more recent LPs, or are you going to try and give a retrospect of what you do?
We do pretty much a retrospective. You know, I mean, we don't just go out to plug. But, you know, it's not like we've made an album. We go, right, let's go and cram it down everyone's throats. You know, we just put on the best show we can. And that involves, if we think that it's best to do Sister Europe off the first album at a certain point in the set, then we do that. You know? We go pretty much across all the albums. And it's the first time, this tour is the first time we've actually used a big production in that, you know, the lights that we're bringing with us were designed specifically for this show and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Right. That's what I've heard. I've heard it's more of a theatrical approach as in the past. I'm really looking forward to it because I've never seen you in concert before, so...
You'll probably be very, very surprised.
Well, good. Okay. That sounds terrific.
Does it feel like a job on stage, or are you as nervous as I am asking you questions? Do you become somewhat of an actor, or, you know, getting into a certain mood, or is it just an extension of yourself, would you say?
Yeah, when you can get into the mood, it's not work at all.
No.
You know? But sometimes, if you've got a great crowd, it doesn't feel like you're doing any work. You know?
Right.
But sometimes when you're really having to work the crowd and they're an unresponsive crowd, then it feels like it's hard work sometimes then. But we don't get that too much.
Good. But the tour is... We heard that it's supposed to be more extensive in October. Are you coming back soon?
You heard that what?
It's going to be supposed to be more extensive coming October. So you're just wondering if you might be coming back soon.
No, I think, this is the only time we'll be up in Canada.
Are you planning any further videos from the LP Mirror Moves, or,
No. Now we're going to go into the studio. Well, we're going to start writing songs in December and January, and then go into the studio late January, February to make another album. We'll be making about 3 videos for the forthcoming album, but no more for this one.
Super. We'll look forward to seeing those and seeing you tomorrow night at Bingham Park. And thank you very much for speaking with us, Richard. We really appreciate it. And before you go...